Magandang araw po sa inyong lahat. Si Dean Mel on air po muli sumasa inyo at sumasa himpapawid sa Facebook at saka sa YouTube. Naririnig rin po tayo sa Spotify at saka sa Apple Podcast. Literally po sa buong Pilipinas, sa buong mundo, kung papanoorin nyo at kayo'y makikinig. Simulcast po tayo ngayon. Alam niyo po, bihira po talaga ang makakasaksi tayo sa ating lifetime ng isang nilalang na talagang ang paninindigan ay kahanga-hanga, ang pagtataya sa isang aspirasyon at adhikain ay katangi-tangi, at ang pananalig sa katotohanan at saka sa katarungan ay walang alinlangan kahit na po ang sitwasyon ay parang wala ng pag-asa. Bihira rin po tayong makakakita ng isang nilalang during our lifetime na sa isang moment o yugto ng kanyang buhay ay dinagukan ng tatlong makapangyarihang departamento ng gobyerno. Tinuring ko nga po itong institutional bombardment. Tandaan niyo yun at nag-trending yun. Kaya nga po tayo ay swerte at mapalad ngayon at pilaunlakan tayo sa ating imbitasyon ng dating chairperson ng Commission on Human Rights, ng dating Secretary of Justice, at ng dating Senator of the Republic of the Philippines, at ang dating political detainee. Kaya nga po, ating pong welcome, the Honorable Senator Laila De Lima. Magandang umaga po.
Magandang umaga, magandang araw, Dean Mel, saka sa mga nanonood. Wow, it's such an honor na nandito po ako sa programa niyo.
Well, it is my honor, Senator, no, kasi alam niyo, hindi ko pa nakikitang personal si Senator ngayon lang talaga.
Ngayon lang po.
Bagamat nung siya ay na-incarcerate, no, isa tayo sa mga talagang nagtaka. Nagalit, no? Nagalit dahil nga, bakit nangyayari yon? Bakit nangyayari sa ating demokrasya? At 6 years, no, Senator? 6 years.
More than 6 years. Six years, 8 months, and 21 days to be exact. So almost 7 years.
Bilang na bilang. Nako.
Araw-araw ko po binibilang.
Pero ang tanong ko ngayon sa inyo, Senator, is, are you totally over the storm?
I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I can say na nalampasan ko na yung napaka-talagang bahagi ng ordeal ko.
Yes.
Yung pag-file ng mga kaso sa akin, ng mga inventong kaso.
Oo nga.
Yung mga kasinungalingan na yon. And then yung pagpapakulong sa akin.
Mm-hmm.
And na hindi rin talaga ako makapaniwala. I was in utter disbelief.
Yes.
Na ginawa yun sa akin, na pinakulong ako, na alam naman nila, mm-hmm, na wala naman akong kasalanan. So, yun, nalampasan ko yun, yung struggle na yun na araw-araw talaga yung the suffering, although blessing rin. So, nalampasan ko yun. So, for the most part, lumampas na.
Mm-hmm.
Pero hindi ko rin alam kung ano pa yung mga susunod,
mm-hmm,
na kabanata, mm-hmm, ng buhay ko.
Aba, siguro. But I'm sure you will be very, very helpful to our society. Alam nyo, binabasa ko yung dispatches nyo from Crame, which I really very, very like. No, I was really amazed na how could you still, no, organize your thought at that situation of sasabihin natin na talagang incarceration. And one of the things na nabasa ko na talagang it struck me, you said, the only thing I can cling to now is hope. Senator, gaano kahirap tumangan sa pag-asa?
Hindi naman ganun kahirap eh.
Mm-hmm.
Kasi from day one, ganun na talaga yung nasa isip ko.
Mm-hmm.
I have to really cling to hope. That's the only thing that I can cling to. If I need to survive, dun ako. Yun ang pag-asa, nandyan dapat yan. Mm-hmm. And nandyan yung faith. I have to really cling to faith.
Mm-hmm.
That I have to really deepen my faith,
mm-hmm,
sa Panginoon, saka sa mga tao, sa kapwa ko Pilipino. Kailangan ko yun. Because from day one, ang sinabi ko sa sarili ko, kailangan mag-survive ako. Hindi pwedeng matalo ako dito. Hindi pwedeng manalo yung mga may kagagawan nito. Mm-hmm. Yun po ang aking mindset all the time.
Yep, and one of the most interesting rena quote which you made in this book, which I really really admire, no? Kasi kung babasahin niyo po in these dispatches from Crime, it's really an inspirational book, no? Sinabi niyo na nabasa niyo kay Elie Wiesel in the book The Night,
yes,
that the audacity of hope meets even the staunchest of prison bars.
Yes,
hope, and it will carry you through. That was your life for more than 6 years.
It can overwhelm everything. Mm-hmm. It can survive everything. Mm-hmm. Hope.
Dumba sa pagkaka-incarcerate nyo, Senator Lima, madami rin kayong naging hobby. Plantita na ata kayo ngayon.
Oo po, kahit hindi po ako plantita noon. Kasi sinigurado ko po yon na buong araw, may ginagawa ako. Mm-hmm. Hindi pwedeng wala akong ginagawa. Aha. Gusto ko busy ako, either mentally, intellectually, or physically. Ako po naglilinis ng buong compound ko, nag-feed ako, pinapakain ko yung pusa, yung mga ibon, yung mga manok doon, pinapakain ko po yon. Ako naglilinis ng buong compound, and basa ako ng basa, dasal ako ng dasal. I make every day worthwhile, para lang maging busy, to fight off depression.
Mm-hmm. And you said in your book, I was not really depressed.
Never.
Sabi nyo,
never. There are times na nalulungkot syempre ako. There are times na umiiyak talaga ako, lalo na pag naiisip ko yung pamilya ko, pag meron mga namamatay na mga kamag-anak, mga kaibigan, talagang umiiyak ako, lalo na sa gabi, lalo na noong mga unang mga buwan ng aking pagkakulong. Nalulungkot ako, but never depressed. I would say that I was never depressed, because precisely yun ang naging attitude ko. Hindi dapat ako maging depressed. Mm-hmm. Kaya kailangan, meron talaga ako laging ginagawa buong araw hanggang makatulog ako. And I didn't even have problems sa aking pagtulog, Dean Mel. Mm-hmm. Bihirang-bihira yung sleepless yung gabi ko. Siguro sa pagod ko, sa pagbabasa, sa pagdadasal, sa paggagawa ng mga kung ano-ano doon sa compound ko, kasi malaki naman po yung compound ko, although maliit lang yung quarters ko, at wala akong ibang kasama doon ng mga detainees, ay napapagod syempre ako. So pagdating ng gabi, inihintay ko lang na pipikit na yung mata ko at matutulog na ako ng maayos.
Or maybe the real reason, Senator Lila, is because your conscience is clear. You could sleep soundly in the night.
You can definitely say that, Mel.
Yes, and you know, this profound experience of yours, what does it mean to you personally? And second, to your family and to the whole nation? Because nakatutok sa'yo yung buong bansa nung araw na yun.
Well, it's a test of faith. Test of endurance and perseverance. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I was not really, it was not just for me. I was not I know all along that I was not just fighting for myself. Mm-hmm. I was fighting for others. I was fighting for the principles that I believed in, for the dignity of human beings, and for the value of human lives. Mm-hmm. And I was fighting against, you know, the quasi genocide of the drug war, of the drug war killings. So I was fighting against those, and therefore I cannot really give up. There was never any moment that I would give up, and I know that I was fighting really for others. Yeah. And I know that many believed it, many that I was really fighting it for the good, yeah, of the country. Uh-huh. Although, syempre, marami dyan din na mga naging gullible, naniwala sa mga disinformation, naniwala dun sa mga kabalastugan, na mga binato nila, mm-hmm, sa akin.
Yes.
But I would understand their situation.
Alam mo, and then you said also that grabe ang korupsyon sa gobyerno, and then you amplified na sinabi niyo, I'm not even talking about corruption in the monetary sense, but corruption in the deterioration of our values.
The social fabric.
The social fabric and national identity. Can you further explain
that? Yeah, the destruction of cultural values. Kasi diba, maano sa atin yung buhay ng tao, and then yung the decency. Yung par, nawala yun eh. Mm-hmm. Yung dahil nga sa, you know, yung mga... You know how toxic the language of the former president was.
Yes.
Na medyo na naapektuhan din yung you know the yung psyche din ng mga tao, and then mm-hmm. the desensitization na para bang okay lang yung pagpatay na ganun-ganun na lang.
Yes.
Doon sa mga walang kalaban-laban. So ano yun eh that runs counter to our very beliefs as a Philippine. Hindi naman tayo hindi wala yung dapat sa dugo natin, sa dugo ng mga bayani natin, yung mga ninuno natin, wala yung dapat. Yeah. Pero bakit biglang nagbago nung may dumating na strong man na nagkaroon ng, you know, naapektuhan na rin tayo na, nung populism na tinatawag.
Yeah.
So that was very unacceptable to me, so I thought I had to do something.
Mm-hmm. And ang maganda nito, no, even if you were there inside, no, somehow you could you know yung message nyo natatanggap ng mga tao, even if parang tidbits piece by piece, and then lumabas nga tong libro nyo, I think it's a bestseller, and nararamdaman nyo ba yung vibes ng mga tao, kamusta na kaya si Laila De Lima? Do you ever feel that?
Yes, Adin Mel, kasi yes, may mga nagbibisita sa akin, although hindi naman ganun karami yung mga nagbibisita dahil may mga patakaran kasi, you know, na may kailangan nga ng court order.
Yes.
If you're not member of the family, if you're not a lawyer, if you're not one of my lawyers, if you're not one of my spiritual advisors, if you're not one of my doctors, ay kailangan mo ng court orders. You know, the process there, medyo, ano yun, taxing. Pero, marami rin nagbibisita, although hindi naman ganun karami.
Yes.
At ang nakakaano talaga, it's so heartwarming and it's so uplifting for me is that ang dami pong mga hindi ko talaga mga kilala na sumusulat sa akin. And then I would see also their messages sa FB. Mm-hmm. That I don't have cell phone, but my staff would print for me yung mga messages nila.
Mm-hmm.
They send me twice a week yung tinatawag na media or comms pouch where they compile all those printed versions ng mga messages sa akin ng mga sumusuporta po sa akin na karamihan po, I would say 95% ng mga nagpapadala ng mga ganon are strangers to me. So nakakaano po yun, nagpapalakas loob po. So that's why I never lost faith in the Filipino people.
Ang ganda ng puntong yon, Senator Laila, no? You for example, you were the victim of the bullying of Congress. The Supreme Court did not listen to you when your petition went up to the Supreme Court, and obviously the executive was just ganging on you, everybody there, not everybody but siguro most of them, and yet your faith in democracy was still there. And you said in your dispatch 123, you said democracy and the people will still prevail in the end.
Yes. Kasi, again, ililink ko yan sa nature talaga ng Pilipino.
Mm-hmm.
Nung nagkakaroon, syempre, sa history natin ng mga abnormalities, mga aberrations, from time to time, depende kung sino mga nauupo dyan.
Yeah.
Depende kung gaano binabastos din yung mga sistema natin, yung, lalo na sa electoral system. Sa tingin ko, lumalala minsan. You know, yung nagiging ano natin ngayon na, you know, the standards for voting ay naiiba na. And then yung the massiveness of vote buying na nakikita natin ngayon. Come election time. Now, so may mga aberrations. But then again, at the end of the day, kapag may nakakita sila na mga karapat-dapat na mga leaders, inspiring leaders, ay nabubuhay muli. Yung talagang tunay na mga damdamin at kaisipan ng mga Pilipino.
Yes, yes.
So in the end, just like justice, democracy and rule of law would always reign supreme.
Wow, that's really a profound kind of aspiration, no? And talking about aberration and abnormality, I remember the article of my good friend Verhel Santos. He said that, you know, Senator De Lima's situation, can we even call her a political detainee? Because a political detainee, we talk about ideologies, we talk about Marxism, we talk about socialism, and they kalaban nilang gobyerno. But Senator De Lima has nothing of those. I mean, yeah. So it is classic, sabi ni Verhel Santos, and I agree with him. It is classic aberration, abnormality, evolution of what a political detainee is. And more often than not, and personally, I think, dyan niyo makikita yung, it's vengeance. It's nothing simple than that.
Dean Mel, I'd rather be called a prisoner of conscience.
Okay.
And I'm now regarded by Amnesty International and some, you know, most of the international human rights groups as such.
Yes.
A prisoner of conscience.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I they did this to me because of what I believed in. The principles of the rule of law, democracy, justice, truth. So based on my conscience, prisoner of conscience, but not necessarily based on ideology. But that is precisely my ideology, mm-hmm. my belief in truth, justice, mm-hmm. democracy, and rule of law.
That's right. And talking about the rule of law, you also, from your isolated place there, you were likewise talking about issues involving the Philippines, the West Philippine Sea, and your analysis of West Philippine Sea, na talaga namang nag-agree ako, hindi lang ako, kundi karamihan, you said that this is an unholy alliance with China. And this is, we are allowing ourselves to be bullied, things like that. How do you get those perception and how do you get the news at that time?
Well, meron po akong mga newspapers.
Oh, I see.
Araw-araw po, may nagde-deliver ng Philippine Daily Inquirer and Philippine Star. And as mm-hmm. I told you, kanina po, yung MediaCom pouch na dinadala sa akin twice a week, aside from the printed versions ng mga FB messages, ay piniprint din po nila yung mga notable online articles. Yung mga, ano rin niyo po, yung mga occasional articles niyo po, nababasa ko rin.
Yeah, thank you.
Kaya, that's why I'm updated. With the news. And so whenever I feel like commenting on those issues, I write it down. And kaya nga po, nakapag-compile na, yung mga dispatches from Kramer.
Right.
It's a combination of personal sentiments and also critique, commentaries on burning issues.
Yeah.
If I feel like it, dati ho, nung una, mas madalas po akong sumusulat niyan about twice or thrice a week. So depende ho sa mga developments. Na kasi nga ho, gusto ko talaga maging busy lang.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote those.
Talking about your growing up, Senator De Lima, you as you are today, no? Where do you think you got that kind of fortitude and kind of courage and kind of perception nung bata kayo? Where did you get that?
Nasa genes ko po siguro yun. Sa daddy ko.
Uh-huh.
Wala na po yung daddy ko, namatay na po siya sa noong 2012. Pero ganun po kasi yun ang training ko eh. Kahit medyo kaya naman ng daddy ko kasi he was a lawyer, he was a practicing lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And good education naman po kami. Pero ang training palagi is that you can never tell the fortune about, you know, the fortunes and misfortunes of life. You should always be ready what life would have for you.
Mm-hmm.
So hindi pwede ngayon, okay ka, and then kinabukasan hindi, and then hindi mo na alam ang gagawin mo. And hindi nyo alam na kami ng mami mo, well, anytime mawawala kami, so paano kayo magsusurvive?
Mm-hmm.
Those basic, fundamental teachings na, and then yung mga ganyan na, always fight for those that are oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
Hindi, you know, yung mas magandang kinakalaban mo yung mga mas mataas sa iyo. Huwag lang yung mga mas mababa sa iyo. Yung mga ganung mga
yes. Tuloy-tuloy minsan may iniisip ko. Tanong ko kaya si Senator De Lima kung anong kinakain niya. Baka dapat ko rin kainin 'yon.
Yung mga maanghang po. Bicolano po.
Ah, yeah, yes. And one of your dispatches resonates today, no? Yung tungkol sa, for example, ngayon nakikita natin yung Israel and Gaza, and I wrote an article in Rappler where I criticized the government for abstaining from that UN resolution calling for truce in Gaza and calling for the entry of foodstuffs, trucks, provisions sa Gaza. Nag-abstain ang Philippines doon, and I was so frustrated. Sabi ko, we have our own experience during Manila when Manila was being bombarded in 1945 or 1943 or 44, we could easily empathize. And then I suddenly remember your dispatch. So tinanap ko talaga, sabi ko, you know, Senator De Lima had a dispatch in tungkol sa mga Rohingyans.
Yes, the humanitarian. And
yes, Rohingyans is almost exactly the same. Na, can you tell us about that? I'm amazed because you're also abreast with international affairs.
We should be consistent. Yung Philippines, meron tayong record talaga sa humanitarian causes. We're always for humanitarian causes, in support of humanitarian causes. So yung mga naging experience natin dyan, yung sa, maski nga sa mga Jews noon and all that, yung mga Vietnamese refugees. There yes. have been several in our history. And then ito, hindi dapat iba ito. You know, because, and then, yes, what happened, yung Hamas attack was really abominable.
Yes.
It's an act of evil.
Yes.
But at the same time, kailangan yung value ng life. One Israeli life should not be equated to 100 Hamas life. There should be equal treatment of lives here, Gazan life and Israeli life.
Yeah.
So there should not, you know, it's not.
It's the same.
It's the same. So kung nakikita natin na sobra-sobra na, you know, the indiscriminate bombing and then the killings of children. And you can say both sides also.
Right.
Then kailangan may bosses tayo dyan. Kung anumang side dyan, ang nangangailangan ng talagang tulong yes. because of the severe humanitarian crisis that has befallen them, then the Philippines should be also at the forefront. We should cast our vote in favor of humanitarian assistance.
Alam mo, Senator, no, that leads me back to your point na yung values natin parang even from the institutional level parang naaapektuhan na, no, nawawala. Because when you are to vote, for example, in a UN resolution, it should also reflect the Filipino values of who we are, kaya gagamin namin yan no matter what people say. And yet dito sa Gaza, nag-abstain tayo eh, parang wala. It's neither yes or no. It's just none. Diba? It's so frustrating.
Nakikita natin yung inconsistency.
Yes.
But of course, the government would always say that there are other considerations
yes.
that we have to make. Uh-oh. You know, geopolitics and all, etc.
Yeah, yeah. And talking about geopolitics, no, how do you think, Senator De Lima, can we recover our reputation as a decent, peace-loving country when we just went through a situation where our country was a country of special concern of the world because of what's happening, yung ating EJK, extrajudicial killing, ang daming namamatay. How could we recover from that?
The direction that the current government is pursuing is the right path. It is correct. And it has my support. And I'm talking about the reassessment of their position in regard to ICC. Mag-rejoin ba tayo sa ICC or not?
Yes.
Magko-cooperate ba tayo sa ICC? Ang sagot ko dyan, syempre, is yes. Affirmative ang aking sagot dyan. Kailangan talaga mag-rejoin tayo ng ICC. Kasi wholly inconsistent yung pag-withdraw pa lang. Mali na yun eh. Maling-mali na talaga yun. Kasi yung pinaka-agenda, yung pinaka-motive pa lang dun sa pag-withdraw, unilaterally at that, ay mali na. No, bakit? Kasi nga para para umiwas siya sa accountability. Kasi alam niya, nandiyan na, pumapasok na yung ICC probers para tingnan yung mga drug war killings. Bigla siyang nag-withdraw. kahit walang Senate concurrence. But of course, it was brought to the Supreme Court, but that issue was never resolved categorically because it was dismissed on the ground of mootness dahil wala na daw, dahil naging effective na daw yung withdrawal, kaya hindi na kailangan i-rule pa kung naging constitutional or not yung pag-withdraw without the consent of the Senate. Now, wholly inconsistent with our human rights record and with our record in so far as the human rights community is concerned. Active nga tayo dun pa lang sa paggawa ng Rome Statute.
Yeah.
Tapos ngayon, ayaw na natin. Ayaw ba natin yon? Nakasama tayo ng international community of nations na lumalaban lagi sa impunity. Kapag may mga bansa na may mga leader na mga monstrous. Di ho ba?
Yeah.
Kahit hindi yun bansa natin.
Yeah.
Pero tutulong tayo sa ICC para panagutin kung sino man yung mga leader na yun.
Tama.
Saka dito sa Pilipinas, malayo natin, magkaroon huli tayo ng mga ganyan na naman na basta-basta na lang papapatay. Yes.
Totoo.
You know, committing grave acts of crimes against humanity.
That's correct.
So yun po ang ano natin, kailangan ho talaga, sana yan ang magiging resulta ng pag-aaral na yan, yung pinapareview ng ating Pangulo. Sana yung mga advisors niya, kung sino man po sila, ay bigyan ng tamang advice ng ating Pangulo. Mag-rejoin tayo ng ICC kasi yun ang tamang gawin at mag-cooperate tayo sa ICC probers para mabigyan talaga ng hustisya yung libo-libong mga biktima ng extrajudicial killings nung drug war. Kahapon ho pala, Dean Mel, maikwento ko lang, kasama ko po, inimbita po ako ni Father Flavi Villanueva karoon po
Father Flavi. Yeah.
Ng Christmas gathering party dun sa mga families and orphans, widows and orphans ng mga drug war victims. Ang dami po nila, ang sayas, masaya po sila nung nakita po nila ako, and then meron po silang theatrical presentation. I was so moved. Ilang beses po kami umiyak. Nakakaiyak po yung kanilang theatrical presentation, lalo na nung pinakita na nila yung mga photos ng kanilang mga mahal sa buhay, yung tatay, yung kapatid, yung ina, ng mga pinaslang, and then yung mga sinasabi nila when they were saying what they want, what is their wish, gusto nila talaga ng hustisya para dun sa pagkamatay ng kanilang mahal sa buhay.
And to tell that to a person who suffered injustice, no, kayo, and so I think you could feel more, no, the sentiments in their heart. Talking about the present administration, President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. You know, to tell you frankly, Senator, I cannot get myself to give President Marcos Jr. the benefit of the doubt because of the historical facts that na nangyari sa kanya bago that. But lately, like for example, the moves of yung repivoting natin from China to the U.S. Sabi ko, somebody's advising him rightly there inside the DFA. The pivot from China to U.S. Then, as you said, the understudy of the ICC. And then when you were released, kayo nga po talaga ang unless there will be either another extraordinary news, kayo talaga ang nagsasara ng news ng 2022.
23.
You even thank President Marcos for not interfering with the judiciary. And when you say something like that, people really listen, no? Because you suffered so much, no? And then yun nga, it surprises me a little bit talaga. Somebody must be advising him correctly, at least maybe a little people there. But what do you think of that? Yung mga repivoting niya, understudy, and then you were released at least. I remember I wrote something about you, and I told the President Marcos, this is my unsolicited advice to Mr. President. The case of Senator De Lima is a case you can do without. Tanggalin mo niya, what is that for you? Sabi ko, what is that for you?
It's just a low-lying fruit.
Yeah.
Madali namang gawin yun eh. na, yes. na you know, I was a victim of injustice.
Correct.
Kita naman dapat 'yon.
Right.
You know, so bakit hindi maging mahirap? Hindi naman magiging mahirap 'yon. Ang ano lang naman doon is justice.
Alam mo, Secretary De Lima, I want to ask you this question. You were the Secretary of Justice. Don't you feel really frustrated or disappointed na, I mean, during the preliminary investigation, you know, a line of people, mga convicts, mga with people with low credibility, hindi papasa yun eh. Hindi papasa yun. Were you disappointed at the outcome? I'm sure you were disappointed, no?
It was very revolting for me, lalo nang, you know, I once headed that institution.
Yes.
So you must have, you can imagine kung anong naramdaman ko.
Mm-hmm.
Na parang all of a sudden naging effective ba ako bilang head of that institution na imbibe ba sa kanila? I'm not talking about DOJ as a whole. I know na marami talaga dyan maayos. So I know that there were really underlying factors also because of, you know, the kasi syempre susunod lang naman sila dun sa taas.
Right.
You know, the DOJ is under the is in the executive branch of government and alter ego yung Justice Secretary ng Pangulo. But then again, they should have been very careful about what they did sa kaso ko.
Yeah.
Na dapat naisip nila yung pinakamandato ng DOJ. Ang mandato ng DOJ is not just to send the guilty to jail. We know that very well.
Very well,
but
yes.
But also to protect the innocent.
Correct.
From baseless charges, yeah. Cases.
Yeah.
So alam naman nila yon. So why did they not? Why have they become unfaithful all of a sudden to their mandate?
Alam mo, Senator De Lima, I clearly remember Salonga versus Panyo. This was a case where Senator Salonga was indicted because of that bombing, and then andami mga witnesses sa kanya, security people, meron pang consul or ambassador, and then the bomber himself, and then na ipafile na yung kaso sa kanya, and then he went up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, no, the evidence is not just too credible, and then the Supreme Court said that. You know, DOJ, you know, prosecutor, you know what your job is. Your job is not to just indict people, but let people free when there is no case.
Yes.
Don't be afraid, no? Tama yun. And sana nabasa ulit nila yung kasong yun.
Saka isa pa po, yung sinasabi nyo kanina na yung paggamit ng mga inmates as witnesses, paglabag ho yan sa batas. Yan yung witness protection law, di ho ba din? Na when you are convicted of a crime involving moral turpitude, you're not supposed to be covered by the witness protection program, and you're not supposed to be a state witness. Itong mga inmates po ng NBP, ng New Bilibid Prison, na ginawa nilang mga witnesses, ang palusot po nila dyan is that they were presented as ordinary witnesses, but we do not believe that. They were in truth and in fact, they were de facto state witnesses na kinover sila under the witness protection program. They could not have just been ordinary witnesses kasi inamin nila yung involvement nila dun sa conspiracy to commit illegal drug trading, yung charge po against me. So kung may involvement sila, then they must have been used as state witnesses. Ang ordinary witness, hindi inaamin na yung nasangkot siya sa krimen.
Yeah.
Di ho ba? You become state witness because you are involved in the crime.
Correct.
So maling-mali po yun. That's a violation of the witness protection law. Kaya nga po may kaso kami sa ombudsman against the former Secretary, Justice Secretaries Aguirre and also Guevara.
Well, ngayon, and you know, I like to listen to you so much kasi madami rin akong natututunan actually. For example, nagbabasa ako, kakistocracy. Wow, sabi ko, what's that kakistocracy? It's the state of our society governed by the least suitable and competent citizen. And there was a time when you describe the Duterte government as just a kakistocracy. And you know, I agree with you, but it's a kakistocracy, especially when you look at Congress and when you said this Congress is just woman bashing Congress as you wrote, it turned out to be a slut shaming and a house of pornography. And I saw that and I said,
disgusting.
It's disgusting. It should not be even seen by anybody. It should not be televised. It should not be radioed. And yet you have these people. Do you think Congress, may pag-asa pa bang Congress natin?
Siguro naman po. Lahat naman po ng institusyon may pag-asa.
Yes.
At lagi ko lang, it all boils down really to the leadership. Kung sino yung mga nakaupo dyan. Mm-hmm. Kaya nga po palagi kung sinasabi, importante talaga na linalagay yung mga tamang tao.
Mm-hmm.
Yung mga sa elective positions, importante mm-hmm. na binoboto yung mga tamang tao at mga tamang leaders. Mm-hmm. Doon naman sa mga non-elective positions, importante na ina-appoint yung mga karapat-dapat na mga tao.
Yes, yes.
That's as basic as that.
Yes, it's basic that a government is only as good as the people who leads it, no? Yung kung meron kang palpak na liderato o presidente, talaga magiging palpak ang gobyerno. Kung palpak ka, kung ibang kanyang mindset, mungi iba rin ang mindset, no? Kaya we have those institutions, no? Institutions. Okay. Some people say, as Secretary, that your release, when you were given bail, it is a triumph of justice. But on the other hand, some people would also say that, you know, actually, it's a manifestation of how gross our justice is because it took so long a time for them to realize this. What do you think about that?
Ganun nga ho. Talagang yan ang mga pitfalls ng ating justice system. Talagang hindi naman talaga perfect ang ating justice system. Mm-hmm. But it can really work a lot better.
Yes.
More efficient, more effective. Basta ba, again, the right people are there and again, the right mechanisms are there. And in fairness to the Supreme Court, ilang taon na rin ang Supreme Court na na nagiging masipag sa mga pag-issue ng mga circulars na mga rules para mapabilis at mapaayos yung mga pagtakbo ng mga proceedings sa court. Mm-hmm. But then again, the implementation sometimes, kasi dito sa kaso ko, it's supposed to be covered by the continuous trial. But how can that be considered now as continuous trial when it's taking that long? My third case, hindi pa nga tapos. I'm just under provisional liberty. Hindi pa po tapos. Kaka-rest lang, kaka-file lang ng formal offer of exhibits yung prosecution in my third remaining case.
Yes.
So almost 7 years.
Yes.
But there are, of course, a lot of factors, a lot of reasons why na-delay, including the inhibitions ng mga judges, marami-ramihong mga judges na mga nag-inhibit o kaya nag-opt for early retirement. And the current judge who's handling it is even the last judge in RTC Muntinlupa. Wala, siya na lang natitira sa RTC Muntinlupa. Kaya siyang nag-handle ng kaso ngayon. So, imperfect justice system, a lot of room for improvement. So with enough diligence and conscious enough, the people who are implementing all these rules and all these innovations sa mga pagpatakbo ng ating justice system, it can further really improve.
Just as it was spectacular, no, that we were talagang confronted with a line of convicts testifying against you, it is also spectacular that these people are now withdrawing their statements and recanting their statement. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to say, even as a non-lawyer or even a lawyer, wala nang kaso yan. Diba? It's so weak. Why are we wasting our time, our money? I hope that judiciary can see that also.
Yes, although yung po sa recantation, although marami-rami na nga ho yung lumalantad dyan at sinasabi na magre-recant na sila, but you and I know, Dean Mel, na yung recantation ho kasi kailangan i-affirm muna under oath.
Yes.
Yes, it's generally frowned upon. Only if it stays as claims of recantation.
Yeah, yeah.
But if these are presented in court, in a firm under oath, at makumbinsi yung judge na, you know, this was done voluntarily, at walang mga improper considerations or pressures, then paniniwalaan talaga yan ng korte. Ang importante, yung recantation, yung new testimony nila, ay yun ang katotohanan. So bakit hindi tatanggapin ng korte?
Yeah.
Balik tayo ulit sa justice system. Isa pa kung bakit sinasabi ko na there's really, you know, it can really improve. Ang importanteng uli dyan is huwag lang pinapakialaman talaga.
Correct, yes.
Ng executive department.
Yep, yep.
Ang judiciary.
You know, I remember Chel Jokno and myself, we, during the GMA period, we were the only ones handling the cases of Losada. Si Losada,
yes.
No? The cases were filed against him, not only against Losada, but against the wife, the family, for yung petition for certiorari namin sa Korte Suprema to release Losada, pinailan pa ng perjury ng gobyerno. Sabi ko, what? Allegations in a pleading are absolutely privileged, especially when it is material to the issue. But anyway, the cases were filed, and we went through the cases, but when President Pinoy got elected, in just a matter of time, it was... not us. The fiscal asked that it be dropped. So I said, well, this is just a highly political thing, no? And I have no proof of it, but just like you, my perception was they were being ordered from above. So that was my perception at the time. So that kind of naalala ko na naman si Virgel Santos. Sabi niyo sa akin, alam mo, Mel, what's the problem here?
He's watching.
It's the patronage thing. We cannot get out of it. How can we get out of it? What do you think? Hirap ano?
Mahirap.
Yeah.
You know, we are always for the ideal situation.
Oh.
We're both idealists, and we are always after what the Constitution and what the rule of law dictates.
Yes, yes.
And almost always, or more often than not, it's inconsistent with political realities. But it takes really good men and women to have changes.
You know, every now and then, Senator De Lima, now people like you come in. For example, during my lifetime, when Senator Aquino was still incarcerated, no? We were already wearing Ninoy t-shirts. Nakakulong pa siya. And we were also sympathizing with him kasi incarcerated siya. And that's why I in my introduction, I said, bihira lang tayo makadama, makasaksi during our lifetime of ganitong mga sitwasyon, no? Yung people blatantly being victims of injustice and then napapalaya and... that kind of reputation yung ngayon justice, no, people are happy, no, the international world is happy about your release, no, nakikita natin sa mga periodiko, sa mga television. Does it add any burden on you? Does it add any burden on you in terms of the sense of responsibility you now have, no? Kasi mas malaki eh. Kasi some people believe you're an icon already, a legendary person who suffered actually, and now you're free.
In a sense, yes, I could feel the burden, the responsibility. But at the same time, I'm just too happy that the international community is there. That they've been there, they've been watching, they've been monitoring my situation and my cases because they saw me and they see me as the symbol of the opposition to what went wrong under the Duterte regime. And I would just tell myself that siguro naman kahit sino yung naging ganon na who was, you know, na strong enough and brave enough to really go against all those crooked policies of the Duterte regime would have gotten the same support from the international community.
It is quite ironic, Senator De Lima, it's quite ironic that a person whose voice was louder than the rest was a person who was inside the jail. Kayo, no? Naghihintay kami sa dispatches nyo, nakikinig kami whatever bit of news we want to know about De Lima, we were abreast, no? That's kind of significant also, actually.
Well, I was, ang ano ko rin, subliminal ano ko rin din, Mel, is that sana huwag akong makalimutan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was really in my mind. Sana hindi ako makalimutan ng mga tao.
Mm-hmm.
Itong naging sakripisyo ko, itong ginawa ko, kaya ako nakulong. That would truly be so heartbreaking for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, if I continue to be visible through my handwritten dispatches,
yep,
then people would be there for me. And would have really get the same sentiments from them on important issues.
Well, you were not mistaken. At this point, Senator Laila, we have questions from the audience, maybe if those watching outside. And so, okay, let's look at the questions from the outside. Dito sa atin. Oh, sige, okay.
So yes, we do have a couple of guests here live in the audience. So we have one question. Can you introduce yourself, po?
Hi, good morning po. I am Benica po.
Hi, Benica.
Attorney De Lima. So as you kanina po, you talk about clinging to faith and hope, and I was kind of inspired because I will be taking the 2024 bar examinations. So, and I know it's a very challenging and very demanding time for us and my bar siblings. So, what words of wisdom can you share to me and my other bar examination takers so that we can always be motivated for our most valuable laban?
Just simple words. Stay focused. Stay inspired.
Thank you, po.
Stay focused.
Thank you, po.
Okay.
Okay, any other question from outside? Ah, sige, so Josiah, sige, go ahead.
Hello po, Senator. Ako po si Attorney Josiah po from FEU, one of the professors po. Ang question ko po dito is, from your experience po sa inyong unjust incarceration, no, meron po ba kayong mga naisip na reforms sa ating justice system, sa ating either sa executive or sa judicial na from your experience na sa tingin mo dapat mapalitan o mabago po, or ma-improve po from based po sa inyong experience?
Nung nasa DOJ ako, meron akong mga ilan ng mga proposals noon na in fact, nagpalabas din ako ng mga department circulars. And I think sa current leadership ng DOJ ay ina-adapt naman nila o kaya they issued more improved circulars on this, katulad nung closer coordination between prosecution and the investigators, the fusion of prosecution and investigation to achieve to have better quality results of cases before these are filed, para ma-improve din yung conviction rate. So that's one of them. And then the creation also of specialized school of academies like Prosecution Academy, Correctional Academy, para mas nakaka-train tayo ng mga workers on the ground in the areas of justice. Okay.
Maraming salamat po, Senator. Thank you po.
Good morning, Senator. I'm Irene Aguila. I just have a question. I'd like to speak about something else that I think everyone saw live on TV. How can a woman recover from such public crucifixion that you went through? I mean, the drug war aside, your in your private life, your being a woman was basically trampled upon all over media. How does a woman get over that? And what message can you give to women who find themselves opposed to powerful men in a heavily masochistic society?
Thank you for that question. Well, I just prayed and prayed for the enlightenment of this people, for them to realize that what they did was totally, definitely, completely wrong, unfair, and unjust to me. And for all other women, do not be affected by situations like that. Just hold on to your faith, just believe in yourself, just believe in others, just continue with your own advocacies, and just be strong, firm and strong. Huwag nagpapa-apekto ng mga ganyan. Kasi nga noon, maski nung nakakulong na ako, sabi ng mga ng staff ko, ma'am, ang dami pa rin pong mga nagbabash sa inyo, yung mga kabastusan, you know, remnants pa rin nung nangyari doon sa congressional inquiry na yon, that despicable proceedings that happened. So I just told my, huwag nyo na lang ipasok sa akin, huwag nyo nang ipakita sa akin. I just need to focus on the more positive things, on the more productive and the more worthwhile things, so you won't be affected. Just don't mind them. Just mind on the good. Just mind and pursue the good things in life. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Medyo tumatagal-tagal na tayo. I know you have a.
I'm definitely enjoying this. This is such a good show.
So yung Zoom audience natin hindi nakapag log in sila. Okay. So anyway, it's time rin naman. Senator Delilah, it was
Laila.
I just want to say that it was a privilege, it was an honor, and for all of us, it was a joy. It was really a joy for us to see you again, to hear you again, to be inspired of you again, and I hope really that you could continue to be an inspiration to many, to not only Filipinos but to also people abroad who see you as a beacon of hope, of freedom, and of democratic values. Thank you very much. And what can you say about your last say na?
Maraming salamat po. Maraming salamat sa inyong tiwala, sa inyong suporta, sa inyong pagmamahal. God bless everyone.
At mga kapatid, mga kaibigan, dyan na po tayo nagwawakas sa ating podcast, sa ating show, sa Facebook, YouTube. Huwag po kayong makakalimot mag-subscribe sa ating Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, at saka po sa ating Apple Podcast. At tandaan ninyo po, ang parati nating sinasabi dito sa ating programa, ang kritiko ay nagmamahal rin sa ating inang bayang Pilipinas. Mabuhay po kayong lahat.